My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Just randomly saying, I like cookies. I like cookies.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
My point being there that it's just such a non-starter and such a random thing to say, really, when you think about it, by Brandon Ayuk. I want to be traded. I want to be, well, okay. Yeah, what do you want me to do about it? It ain't going to happen. We have the keys to the car, and there's no reason to trade you, which was just sort of a bizarre thing to say at this juncture of the negotiations between the two. We were talking about, and somebody on the text line wants to know the injury and the extent of the injury to one Ricky Pearsall. Can you detail that, Sammy?
Yeah, so I was looking up, and we like to do a little segment on the morning roast called the Injury Report.
It's time for the
injury. We won't do the whole one there, but so I just looked into it. Yeah, I can do the drops too, Ken. It's all good. So right now, just looking it up. So
you don't
know
need
that,
either one of us, you know.
You
don't need
careful.
A producer. You don't need me. You don't need anybody.
Well, I've done all this stuff kind of behind the scenes already, so you kind of get used to it. You know who's really good at all this stuff without host is Spadoni. He is a wizard on all the buttons and boards and whatnot. So we know that Ricky Pearsall was injured. The injury he suffered away from the 49ers facility. But the Niners are not announcing what the injury is just yet because they don't have to. The earliest they have to announce what the injury is when they release a injury report for practice, and that will be this Wednesday when the Niners open up training camp. That is when we will probably at the earliest find out what exactly is going on with Ricky. So,
what are the pros and cons of not listing what it is that he's dealing with?
I guess the pros, I mean, you know, these teams, they always like to keep things secretive because they don't want, oh, the guy's foot's hurt, so let's go after the foot or something like that. I'm not really sure what the cons are other than just like, again, the way I guess the collective bargaining agreement, the requirements are is just like they have to announce it with the practice report. The fact that he's like the practices, the training camps haven't opened up yet. Guys are still away from the team right now. So when guys start filtering back in is probably when we'll start seeing all these updates.
But by all accounts, it's not of the severe nature.
I don't want to say yes, that's the case, and then it turns out that, like, oh, yeah, he just
torn
had
ACL.
He blew his ACL out planning to pick up basketball, you know? So it's – I feel like if it was that bad, if it was, like, horrific, like, season-altering, that probably would have gotten out. If it's, like, you know, he sore quad or he strained his groin, then, you know, something that – okay, you're going to miss a day or two. That's easier to kind of like, we'll let people know when the time comes.
But if there's one guy, especially with the situation with Brandon Ayuk being so tenuous as it is, that you want in camp from day one and ingesting as much as he can, it's the kid Ricky Pearsall out of the University of Florida.
No, this is kind of an important one for the Niners to have available because, yeah, this whole thing with Brandon Ayuk is basically based off the whole, like, what's going on with Ricky Pearsall? They kind of drafted Ricky Pearsall as a sign that, you know, either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel are probably not long for the Niners right now.
He's your insurance policy.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, he's there. If Ayuk or Debo leave, this is the guy we're bringing in, along with Jacob Cowing out of Arizona, who came, you know, I think he was a fifth or sixth round pick in this year's draft. So
we can't lose both of them. We'll lose Ayuk for now. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. And Debo is still under contract, at least for another year. But as I mentioned going into the break, I talked about, well, you don't want to lose Brandon Ayuk because you're a better football team. My feeling is, though, if he's not available and you're going with Ricky Pearsall and you're going with Juwan Jennings and you're going with some other players, that I still think that there are so many stars on this football team. And I also think that Kyle Shanahan, being who he is in terms of an offensive mastermind, that the 49ers are still going to be okay. Maybe the offense isn't as prolific, but it's not going to be the reason why you don't get back to a Super Bowl, as I've heard repeatedly from a lot of people.
Well, yeah, I mean, then you're looking at the defense there, and we've not really talked about that. I mean, Dre Greenlaw, he's going to be out probably all year long now with that Achilles injury. You know, Charvarius Ward, we'll see where he's at. Fufanga, he's going to be coming back from an ACL. Hopefully he'll be good to go because, I mean, I think you kind of saw in the Super Bowl with Hufanga and with Dre Greenlaw, they really just started picking on their side of the field. Oren Burks, poor guy, he was put through the blender in that second half. They were just picking on him with Travis Kelce the entire second half. And so you got to think if Hufanga and Greenlaw are both there, it's probably a different story there. Then on the other side, you know, you got Nick Bosa down in the defensive line there. Hopefully we'll get a better season out of Javon Hargrave here. But on the other side, I mean, a big struggle last year was finding a good pass rusher on the opposite side of Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to the linebackers because as camp opens up, you're always looking for those competitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Greenlaw out of the picture, it's going to be really competitive to see who's going to be that number two. And one of the guys that's jumped out, and I'm not in on it as much as some, but this Devondre Campbell is a name that I keep hearing as somebody that could rear his head and really challenge for that number two spot alongside Fred Warner. But as camp begins and you're looking for storylines, that's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's definitely keep an eye on Devondre Campbell. I think Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, he's got experience playing in this defense. He could be in there too. I mean, I'm looking at I got the Niners depth chart right up in front of me. It's got Devondre Campbell, at the strong side linebacker spot, with Fred in the middle. And then it's kind of a question mark on the other linebacker spot. It'll be either Demetrius Flanagan Fowles or even D Winters. We'll see what goes on there. And then again, you look at the defensive line. It'd be interesting to see what the pass rush is going to be like there. They brought in Malik Collins and Leonard Floyd to, give some, you know, kind of a counterweight in a sense to what Nick Bosa provides on the right side. A guy I'm really looking at, though, who I think we need to see a lot more from this year, it's Drake Jackson, who out of USC a couple years ago. He had that great game against Pittsburgh at the start of last year. I think he had, three sacks in that Steelers game last year, and then you just disappeared. I mean, I think he's got the athletic tools to be, you know, a useful player on that defensive line. We're just not seeing it yet.
Yeah, he deals with a lot of nagging injuries throughout his early career as well.
But I think overall the point here is, I think the defense is still pretty sound this year. We'll see how things look this year with Steve Wilks out. It just never really fit with him last year. The way the Niners really kind of were blowing teams off the field last year was with that offense. You know, the 30 points per game that they were putting up with Brock Purdy and this offense. Without Brandon Ayuk, that 30 for Purdy, is as we like to call it, it's not going to be as common, I think, next year as it was last year.
Yeah, so again, that's where a lot of this sort of, as far as this conversation, I kick things off by talking about Brandon Ayuk and a team without him and what that would look like. And again, you're not going to be as good, but I still think you're going to be good enough. And if you were to think about at the end of next season, if they do indeed do not get back to a Super Bowl, I don't think you're going to point a finger and say, well, Brandon Ayuk wasn't there. It could be a part of it, but I think there's going to be other much more apparent reasons. I just think that offense has so many stars, and with a guy like that, a Kyle Shanahan, that's pulling the trigger, you're going to be in good hands. For crying out loud, I mean, he took you to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo and an offense that was good, but not nearly as capable as what it is that they're putting on the field in 2024. So, by all intents and purposes, I think this gets wrapped up with Brandon Ayuk. You're going to have to eat some pride here. Brandon Ayuk has no leverage in any of this. The worst case scenario is that You know, he can get franchised. He doesn't want that. So
I'm not sure what the franchise tag is for receivers this year.
But whatever it is, that's the last thing that Brandon Ayuk wants to deal with. But Brandon Ayuk has to recognize that, you know, you are under team control. And demanding a trade means absolutely nothing, aside from giving guys like us something to talk about. Mm-hmm. And that right now, what you have to do is ball out, regardless. Mm-hmm. If you want to get Justin Jefferson money, you have got to put together a season similar to last year, if not better.
Well, you don't think he's already kind of balled out at that level? I mean, the numbers may not show up, but again, keep in mind, I mean, Justin Jefferson, he is the focal point of that Vikings offense. I mean, who else are you really kind of looking to there? I mean, they got some good young receivers there, Jordan Addison. Is KJ Osborne still there? This is how up to date I am on the Vikings.
It's going to be Sam Darnold's favorite target.
Oh, Sam Darnold, man. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what his numbers look like, too. But I mean, Justin Jefferson basically is that offense. Davante Adams basically is the Raiders' offense. Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of the big pieces of that Lions' offense. The reason that Ayuk's numbers are so low is that you got to share the rock with mm-hmm. Debo. You got to share it with Kittle. You got to share it with CMC. And there's going to be some days where you're just not getting as much, you know, love from Brock Purdy because you have all those other weapons. It's kind of like, you know, what Florio said at the end there. You put him in an offense like in Dallas, like with CeeDee Lamb, what kind of numbers he would get there, it would be very different. But the way that this offense operates, yeah, Ayuk's numbers, they're going to be a little bit lower. But I don't think that means the performance is lower either. Like, he was just put in the top 10 receivers in the NFL by coaches, executives, and scouts and whatnot. I think, no, Brandon Ayuk, I think Ayuk is better than the numbers that he's been putting up.
Yeah, my point is that he can ill afford to hold out or not have a good season simply because he's in this current contract negotiation. He still has to play well for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get his asking price and hits the market as a free agent. You have to have, you know, you have to have compiled a good season in order to demand the sort of money that he's going to want at the end of next year. But I think that the 49ers, much like that of Bosa, much like that of Debo Samuel, that we've been here before, that again, in retrospect, San Francisco should have done this months ago, but we're at where we're at. And the 49ers are going to, I mean, if you were to pick, Sam, a number off the top of your head, I want to say that the offer they're coming in at is at 25. He's asking for somewhere over, I want to say north of 30.
My guess is he's probably wanting that Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. That would be my guess.
And I'm saying that the 49ers find that happy medium somewhere around 27 to 28.
Yeah.
And that's stretching it for San Francisco. I think that's when the deal gets done.
Yeah.
But I said, go ahead.
No, I agree. I think, yeah, 28, that would be the good happy medium there. I mean, be a lot of money to commit to him and Debo plus Kittle. But I think they can make it work this year. It just, they've been playing this whole game of let's kick the can down the road. Eventually the road will come to an end, but I think that road ends next offseason, which is why I consider this season a Super Bowl or bust season. Because after this year, with the money you have to give to Brock, if you do pay Brandon Ayuk this summer, you're going to have to start making some, there should be some cap casualties next summer. Whether it's, you know, I hope it's not Brandon Ayuk, but I'm looking at Debo Samuel. I think he kind of knows that. I think everybody kind of knows it, that if Ayuk does get signed, I think that sets up things. I think that sets up the Niners to move off of Debo after this season.
Well, it all gets going next week when camp officially gets underway. We'll obviously keep an eye on what's happening with Brandon Ayuk and that contract situation as he has demanded a trade this past week. The 49ers will not trade him unless, I shouldn't say will not, if somebody, you know, somebody comes to the table with a ridiculous offer, it's going to be for draft picks. Even at that. Because if you're getting draft picks, you're building for the future.
That doesn't help you out this year, though.
Yeah, and as we have talked about, it's all about sort of getting, putting your cards on the table and winning that Super Bowl, that elusive Super Bowl this year. Sammy has said, and is on record, that the Kansas City Chiefs have a better shot at the three-peat than San Francisco getting back to a Super Bowl.
Which, and it just sickens me to have to say
no,
that.
No, but I think
but it's just, I mean, the Chiefs have shown, they own the AFC. Josh Allen has not been able to step up and beat them in the playoffs. It'll be interesting what the Bengals look like with Joe Burrow. Texans are an interesting team this year.
But the AFC is so much more competitive than the NFC. And all the good quarterbacks.
All the good quarterbacks. Yeah, the thing is just it's like the Lions are going to be good this year. I think that the NFC North, which is, I believe, the division the Niners have to face this year, is going to be an absolute bear. The Packers and Lions think it'd be very good this year. The Rams are going to be very good this year.
Is it a bounce back for Philly?
I think it'll be interesting to see with Philly. I think Philly is going to be good. I don't know. And with Saquon Barkley, that's going to be the interesting one there, depending on how much tread he has left on the tire. Philly's going to be dangerous. Dallas, I don't take them seriously, but they got talent. They're not awful. Certainly can. They have the capability to be good. It will not be easy for the 49ers to get back to the Super Bowl. That's just the fact. Especially coming off of that hangover, especially coming off the fact that, they got, the big hole on that defense with Dre Greenlaw, which I really don't think is talked about enough, just how bad they're going to miss him.
Dre Greenlaw is going to be a serious, serious void on that football team as the 49ers, again, try and get back to being a dominant team with or without one Brandon Ayuk. Again, it all gets underway this week. We want to switch gears and talk a little Golden State Warrior basketball because free agency continues, trades potentially could take place. And the one name that's still hovering out there is that Lauri Markkanen with Utah.
Yeah.
And will he come to the Golden State Warriors? Do the Warriors have enough assets to lure him, to lure one Danny Ainge to trade him to the Warriors? And I would pose this question, because this is sort of where I live. Do you want Lauri Markkanen? And who it is that you're willing to move off on to get this young 26-year-old out of the University of Arizona, 7-footer, who is the prototypical stretch five and fits perfectly in with
the finisher, as they call him,
because he's
Finnish. For the right price, yes. The problem is I don't think you're getting him for the right price.
What is
by
the right price?
Is any deal that does not include both of Brandon Pajemski and Jonathan Kuminga. I think at minimum you need to keep one of those guys. Like in a perfect world, I would love to see that trade built around Andrew Wiggins, Moses Moody, and GP2, and a bunch of picks. The problem with that idea, though, is I think the Jazz need to be in on that too, and I don't know if they would. Sam Quinn of CBS Sports, he wrote a great piece on this earlier this week. We had him on to talk about it. He broke it down really, really well. Basically, it comes down to this. It's almost like kind of a paradox situation, so to speak, where the Jazz, they want the Warriors' picks to be as bad as possible. So that's why they want Pajemski and Kuminga.
Unprotected and, well, bad meaning the Warriors will be bad.
Yes, yes. So because they're looking out the post, because all these picks that the Warriors give up are going to be after Steph Curry leaves. And those picks, those Warriors probably be bad during that time. But if you have Lauri Markkanen, Brandon Pajemski, and Jonathan Kuminga, I'm not going to sit here and say that's your NBA Finals trio, but that is a trio that you could be you at least build a competitive team around. So those draft picks that the Warriors are going to be sending away, they're not going to be top five draft picks. They could be at the back of the lottery, or maybe even out of the lottery, which does nothing for the Jazz. So the Jazz, they want Pajemski and Kuminga, not so much for now, because the Jazz, they're trying to tank right now. They want Pajemski and Kuminga now, because if those guys become good down the line, then that helps the Warriors out, and they don't want that. So they want those two guys because they could help them out down the line while also getting that draft capital in. The Warriors, on the other hand, the draft picks are kind of immaterial to them, but with Kuminga, there is a lot of what could be. And then Pajemski, they really like him a lot. He's probably going to be slotted in as your starting two guard. Now, whether he finishes games or not, that's TBD. But the Warriors like Pajemski a lot, so much so that Joe Lacob is saying that he's going to be an all-star someday. I don't know if I would go that far with Pods, but the Warriors, they clearly see a lot of value in him. Having Pods, JK, and Lowry, and Steph, and Draymond, and TJD, you're feeling really, really good there. So something's got to give at this point. The question I kind of have, Dan, who can afford to just walk away from the table with nothing here? Like, if the Warriors just like, you know what, this is getting, I don't want to mess with Danny Ainge here. Just going to wipe my hands. We're just going to go with what we have here. Or does Danny Ainge just be like, you know what, you guys aren't playing ball here. We're going to just sign Lauri Markkanen and figure it out later.
I can answer that for you.
Yeah. All right. What's your answer?
Both can.
Yeah.
I'll start with the Utah Jazz. First of all, I'm not thoroughly convinced that Danny Ainge is ready to move off on Lauri Markkanen. Like, this is not like a Paul George scenario. This isn't Jimmy Butler. This is not an unrestricted free agent, first of all. Okay, so he has to be traded. Also, there's no acrimony with Lauri Markkanen and Danny Ainge. And by all accounts, Lauri Markkanen enjoys Utah. He likes living there. So I'm not necessarily sure that Danny Ainge is at a point where I need to trade this guy. Or we've reached a point like that of Klay Thompson where he's got to go. It's a foregone conclusion. There's a strong possibility at age 26 that he's young enough that they can still use him as a centerpiece and build around him. And let's face it, being a tall white guy in that Mormon community, I don't want to go down that road, but it doesn't hurt. And I'm just telling you that I'm not necessarily sure that Danny Ainge is ready to say so long. And that's where it sort of begins and ends with. Danny Ainge is, you know, as we all know, the T-Wolves online too. He will go after everything that you have and does not care. I talked about how the 49ers have an asking price. Well, you can rest assured that Danny Ainge knows exactly what he wants in return for that of the Golden State Warriors. I would also mention that it's not, I don't think it's exclusive to the Warriors. Should he come to a point and arrive at a point where he wants to make this landmark trade and move off of Lauri Markkanen, I think San Antonio is another team that you have to keep an eye on.
They'll go after Lowry?
Well, they have all the draft capital, and they also have to show to Wembanyama that they have to win right now. Because Wembanyama to that extension is, and I don't know him from a personal standpoint, but as a young bat, we were talking about how Shohei and a lot of young players want to go to those big coastal cities. And so San Antonio doesn't have a 3 to 5 year window to sort of rebuild. They got to show Wembanyama that they're ready to win right now if they want to retain his services.
Well, they did just add Chris Paul, which I think is a great deal for them.
And Harrison Barnes. So, which kind of gives mixed messages. Are we getting veterans to build for the future? Or are we getting Lauri Markkanen to sort of win right now? But I'm just saying, I guess the larger point being, Sam, that I don't think it's the Golden State Warriors are bust. That I think that there's other teams.
Oh, no, they could probably find other teams to move off of them. I agree. I think the Warriors would be fine to walk away from this deal and just not deal with it. I do think, though, with the Jazz, though, there is a little bit more pressure because, like, they are trying to tank. And I think Lauri Markkanen makes them a little too good for that. The top of next year's draft is very good. The phrase capture the flag, Cooper Flagg going to Duke. He is expected to be the dude. He's been balling out in he was on the Team USA select team that practices against Team USA. He was getting some rave reviews. So he is the,
balling.
He is the light. He's kind of the carrot at the end of the stick, so to speak, for these teams that just want to bottom out this year and go for that number one pick, which the Jazz would be one of those teams.
Remember them last year? I want to say it was in February when they were actually playing really well in Lauri Markkanen, and they were like winning all these games. And
it was
the last thing that Danny Ainge wanted.
But luckily, it was in a year where the draft was just, you know, absolute poo. But the draft is a lot deeper next year, so you're going to want to be in the pool in that running for those top five picks. I think Lauri makes them too good for that. So I think if you're the Jazz, like, you lose a lot of leverage once that August 6th deadline hits where you have to, you know, where you can actually start to sign him. Because once you sign him to that extension, you can't trade him for 6 months. So obviously, you sign him on the 6th, you can move him on February 6th, which is the trade deadline. But if he signs that deal on the 7th, you can't move him until next year and you're stuck with him all year. And you got to hope that he doesn't play you out of the lottery. And we can get into that some more on the other side, too.
Yes, because when we come back, I'll tell you why I think it's the best thing for the Golden State Warriors not, and I mean not, to trade for one Lauri Markkanen and just to stay put. It makes no sense, at least in my world, to go after Markkanen. Just hit reset and stay with what it is you have. I'll detail that. We'll get into your calls. We'll talk about the Golden State Warriors and the potential trade that I continue to hear every day, which makes, and maybe Sam, you can convince me, because quite frankly, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to trade for Lauri Markkanen. Sam Lubman will somehow try and convince the kahuna. Good luck. It ain't happening. We'll continue on 95.7 The Game right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Cannon.
At least Bonte didn't win.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. 95.7 The Game. We got a half hour left. Was that a Bonte drop there?
That was a Guru drop about Bonte.
Ah, all right.
That was Guru's just happy that Bonte didn't win our knockout tournament, because if he did win the knockout tournament, we would never hear the end of it.
Are you a baller? Are you?
Oh, no, I'm terrible.
Are you? Okay. Well,
I'm horrible at basketball. I completely airballed my first shot in that knockout tournament. It was absolutely humiliating.
What is a sport of choice for one Sammy Lubman?
I mean, I guess
you look like a boarder.
Well, that'd be kind of cool. I wish. I surfed once. I took surfing lessons in Hawaii back in 2016. It was part of a family vacation, and broke my ankle. Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh, but wow, that's pretty harsh, man.
No, it was. I was so stupid. So, yeah, they give me the lessons, and they say, whatever you do, do not try and run up onto the beach. And like an idiot, I kind of did that. I jumped off the board right onto the sand, and my ankle went... I actually heard the break, too, which was kind of cool.
Man, that's
yeah, and I'm just like, the second it happened, I was like, oh, I am dumb. I was dumb.
When you were in Miami, were you going to, don't you think the beaches of Miami are so complete? The Atlantic, to me,
it's
is so
much
entirely
warmer.
Different. Yeah.
It's like you're getting into a bathtub. It's so like, in the Pacific Ocean, it's like, there's like this whole like process you have to do of like, you wade in bit by bit and get adjusted to the water. The beaches in Miami, though, is just you jump right in and it's like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, I find the water and just the waves in the Atlantic as opposed to the Pacific are entirely different. I always say you can blindfold me, drop me off in Peru, and I'll recognize the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Being from Hawaii, I know that, baby. The Atlantic, I'm like,
well, you get nice warm water out there in Hawaii. Yeah,
well, too warm, though, because I swim in the bay here, which is like in the 50s. And you're freezing.
Yeah, you like to swim around in the marina, right?
Yeah, swim in the Dolphin Club in sort of in the aquatic park.
Yeah, aquatic
you
park,
go to Hawaii and the temperature's in the 70s. It's the complete opposite. You have to get out of the water. I mean, after a lengthy swim because it's too hot. You're like you're sweating. It's like, what is this stuff?
I remember I went to this years ago in high school. I went to this Boy Scout camp down in the Keys, and that was like my first Florida experience. And I remember the first time I jumped in, I started sweating in the water.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been in water this warm. Like, this was like, this is so much nicer. You jump in the Pacific Ocean, you're like, but then you get in that water, and it's like, this is really, really nice.
I love this story. Tell everybody again why it is a local kid here in the Bay Area decided to go to Miami.
So growing up, both my parents went to Cal Berkeley here. So I grew up a big fan of Cal football. And so during the Jeff Tedford years, the late 2000s, obviously Cal football was as big as college football could probably get here in the Bay Area. I know Stanford had a great run, but no one really pays attention to Stanford. But Cal, you know, those Jeff Tedford teams, they were really, really good. Yeah.
And Marshawn Lynch, J.J. Arrington.
Oh, yeah, Deshaun Jackson. LaVell Hawkins, Justin Forsett, Javid Best. Javid Best, man, one of the – what could have been.
Yeah. He might have been the fastest of all those guys.
Oh, he was so fast. The problem is you tackle him, he shatters.
Went to the Lions and didn't have much of a career. But
I remember playing with Javid Best in Madden. And it was almost like a cheat code. You give him, you know, those outside runs to take it to the house. Next drive, you hand it off to him. He gets tackled. He's done for the game. That was the Javid Best experience. But 2008, Cal went 8-4, and they ended up going to the Emerald Bowl at then AT&T Park, now Oracle Park. And playing them in that game was Randy Shannon and the Miami Hurricanes. And where we were sitting in section, I want to say 117, in the lower bar, in the promenade level of Oracle Park, right by that my favorite garlic fry stand there, right by the press box, and that happened to be right next to the Miami band, and I was kind of irritated about the time. I was like, no, if I'm gonna be next to a band, I want to be next to the Cal band, you know, like we were almost basically sitting in a Miami section in a sense, and all night long, you know, they're doing all the band's playing, they're dancing, everyone's throwing up the U in our face. And Cal ends up winning the game. It was a close one. Nate Longshore hit Anthony Miller in the end zone.
Nate Longshore.
As time is ending. That's a name I've not heard.
Yeah.
But I came away from that game thinking, it's like all this Miami was just being thrown at my face all night. I'm thinking, huh? I'm a sophomore in high school at the time. I'm like, huh? I need to start thinking about college soon. What would Miami be
so
like?
Random. You are so random, man.
Like, what would Miami be like? And so then a couple months later, my English teacher assigns us a project: do research on a college. You know, just to kind of like get us into the thought process of looking for colleges. So it wasn't a huge, like a deep, you know, dive essay on a college. Just research it. What are the requirements for it? What's cool about it? Stuff like that. And just kind of, you know, learn about a college, basically. So it was like, why not? Let's do Miami. And I'm looking into it. I'm like, this school has everything I want. Like, I want to do film and broadcast.
If you were doing a deep dive and I was that teacher, I would say, okay, here's a 30 for 30. Watch this. It's called Catholics versus the Convicts.
Well,
this
no, is here's, a, no, here's the thing that we're getting ahead of ourselves here. So I do the deep dive there. This is in 08. 08, 09 is when this is happening. So spring of 09 is when I do this little deep dive here. And I'm like, you know, I kind of like this school. That's why I learned it's a smaller school, 10,000 total, 8,000 undergrad, 2,000 graduates. So I learned it's a small school in a big city with a big football tradition, which was kind of what I wanted. You know, because I heard all these horror stories, but when my mom would go to Cal, how there's like, you know, a line 500 people long just to meet your professor. Like, I didn't want that. Yeah. I wanted something smaller, more intimate, more personal. So it's like, wow, I kind of like what's going on here. That summer, the U comes out, the original one, and I'm watching it. And of course, the line I always love: if you don't like us dancing, don't let us get in the end zone. I'm like, this is so cool. I want to be a part of this. And so it just snowballed from there. And then spring of 2010, spring break, my dad and I, we do our college visits. Shout out Jim Lubman. So we visited Miami, Florida State, and that trailer trash town of Tallahassee. And then we did Michigan State. We did Miami first, and we could have just canceled the rest of the trip after that because I was hooked. We were there. It was Miami in the spring, which is like the best time to be in Miami. Yeah. And I'm just like, this place is so awesome. I need to come here.
Nuts.
And that's so basically, yeah, rooting for Cal football basically
drove you to Miami.
Me to Miami. And so this October, I'm very excited. October 5th, it's like a full circle moment for me and my dad, so to speak, because my dad kind of was a big part of this journey as well with me. Miami's coming to town to play Cal.
Well, hello, ACC football. That's right.
ACC football at Strawberry Canyon. So we're going to be going to that. And it's going to be like a full circle moment for us where this journey started with a Cal-Miami game. And now here we are all these years later.
Good for
and
you.
We're getting Cal-Miami here at Memorial Stadium. So I'm very excited for that.
Nothing speaks ACC than the fog coming in on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Based off the Pacific Ocean, correct.
All right, let's get into Lori Markkanen. So yeah. I tease this at the break. This is how I see this thing, all right? Lori Markkanen, first of all, Warrior fans, gather round. Hold hands. I'll do this for you one more time. He is not the answer.
I agree with you.
And
I don't think he is either.
This idea that you're one player away. I know ideally you want to give Steph Curry the walk off and get him another title. That's just not going to happen. We got to live in the real world. You're
well,
not,
really? So hold on. I mean, the policy there. So you're just no more titles for Steph. It's over. Not a chance.
Well, it's not that I don't want to. It's just that this is where we're at.
No, no, like that's like, I'm not saying that's what you're rooting for, but you're saying like you don't think like
it's
where
not happening.
Right. Yeah.
No, no, that the reality is it's just not going to happen. Now, is Steph going to like that? No. Is Steph going to go anywhere? No. You don't have to worry about Steph Curry saying, "Get me out of here. I want one more shot at winning a championship."
Let's hope so.
He's ensconced in the Bay Area. Just bought a building in the Dog Patch. His kids, this is the only place they know, right? They're part of the community. Dad goes to work at Chase and he comes home and kisses him to bed at night, and that's life as we know it.
All
as
three plus as, number four on the way.
As important as basketball is, he's not going away for 5 months of the year. He's not saying goodbye to the kids and I'll see you in about 8 weeks. No, 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 no. That's just, he probably doesn't want this being divulged, but Steph Curry is part of the fabric that is the Golden State Warriors, and he's very acutely aware of his legacy. He's aware of what it is that Kobe Bryant did, and playing for one team means something to him. With that being said, this team, and I hear this time and time again, whether it's on this station or just being bannered about, you are not one player away. Somebody needs to explain that to me. If this was 2016, right? Steph Curry was 28 years old. Klay Thompson was 26. Draymond was like 25. They were at the apex. They were in their prime. Then you were one player away, and that one player was Draymond Green, and you went on to win a title. Yes, you were one player away. You want to fast forward 8 years later where he's pushing 40 years old and he's 37,
36,
and Draymond's 35. You already moved Klay out because he's essentially too old. He lost that step. He's no longer a two-way player, and you're trying to tell me...
There's other things going on too, but yeah.
You're trying to tell me that you're still one player away, and that one player isn't Kevin Durant, but rather it's Lauri Markkanen. Like, all of us is just take a step back and try and recognize what the hell it is that we're trying to do here. It's over. It's done. Dynasties come to an end. You can still be competitive, and I think that's all you can hope for at this point. Be competitive, maybe steal a playoff series. That's good enough for Steph to buy into, to be a competitive team that's getting
to the
playoffs.
You want to be in the mix.
And then you lean into the youth. You identify your next core. It's not going to be Steph, Draymond, and Klay, because that only happens once in at least my lifetime. But you can identify the stars of tomorrow. You get into the draft, and you also then assemble some free agents going forward. And you can be relevant again in maybe 2 years. You get Lauri Markkanen, who you have to max out at the end of next year, and you trade all your assets and you have no draft picks, you're going to be done for. You're going to be the Golden State Warriors before Steph Curry and Steve Kerr came to town. You remember that team?
I absolutely remember those teams. The days of suck, as I like to call it. That's honestly, Dan, one of my big fears is that we will regress into those days of suck, which is why I don't want to give up these draft picks, because I always have to bring it back to the Giants. Look at what the Giants have been going through over these last few years as they try to pick themselves out of their post-run doldrums. Look how nuts fans are going over that. If you think that with the Giants rebuild has been tough, the post-Steph rebuild is going to be a whole other level of frustrating, especially if you don't have your draft picks. So for me, like, if you're Joe Lacob, you know, you're Mr. Light Years. You're always light years ahead, thinking ahead. The reason that Joe Lacob was able to get Kevin Durant was in part because they identified, oh, we see a salary cap spike happening right when he hits the mark, right when he hits the free agency market. We got Steph on this absolute, you know, steal of a deal right now when he had that 4-year, $44 million deal. We are perfectly set up to bring him in. They saw that 2-3 years out, and they were gaming themselves to get ready for that. Joe Lacob is always looking forward ahead. You don't get to his level of success taking things one day at a time. You get to that level of success by you're looking several years down the line in game planning. How do we do this? How do we do that? And how are we going to handle this? So if you're Joe Lacob, you're probably thinking, like, what are these post-Steph years going to look like? Because if Steph retires in 3-4 years and you have no draft picks and you have no Jonathan Kuminga and you have no Brandon Pajemski and you got Lauri Markkanen and a bunch of scrubs out there, that's going to be really, really not fun to watch for the 8,000 people a night going to Chase Center. Joe Lacob doesn't want that.
Yeah.
So he is going to be gaming. He's going to be setting himself out to make it so these post-Steph years are not what, you know, Oracle Arena used to be back in 2003.
I think Joe Lacob, and he said as much, I need to get my arms around this team financially.
Mm-hmm.
He said this well before this offseason, that he wants to get under the luxury tax, that this is getting a little preposterous, paying this much money more than any other professional team. Forget about the NBA. In professional sports, that payroll for that of the Warriors was that crazy. And for a team that, what, got waxed by Sacramento in a play-in game? It made no sense. And as you just laid out, this dude's not a smart businessman. He's a business tycoon. He's a captain of industry, all right? This guy knows what's up. So he got under the luxury tax. He immediately took $73 million off the board with the removal of two players in Klay Thompson and CP3. And so that was number one. Financially, I want this to make sense. And secondly,
logical, I think, was the word that he used.
And secondly, I think he's going to lean in to the youth because he knows he has to get younger. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the biggest problem with this team. We all knew this was going to come to an head, and it was going to get ugly before it got better. That's what happens when you become an aging dynastic team.
Yeah, it's not happened with the Spurs.
It never ends well. What I find really curious is how this is going to play out with Draymond Green. Forget about the Andrew Wiggins contract. I don't think Draymond, if this is indeed a rebuild or a reset, Draymond is not signing up for that. Steph, for whatever reason, I think you could sell him on it. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm going to stop you on the Draymond thing because I don't think he has a choice. Like, who else is like, I don't know what kind of a market he would really have. And honestly, so he's got 3 years left, $25 million per. I don't think any team wants to pay him $25
million. You don't?
We had Joe Lacob in studio a few months ago, and he kind of let slip an interesting nugget where he said, you know, Draymond Green drove over to his house to get that deal done. Like, that's how kind of like desperate what Draymond was to get that deal done. I don't think there was really a market for Draymond. I don't think there's a lot of teams out there that would be chomping at the bit to get Draymond Green. There might be a team like, you know, Detroit or Charlotte or one of the other, you know, bumble scum teams that no one ever cares about that, you know, if you go there and collect your paycheck, which is the, you know, same as NBA banishment. I think Tobias Harris, he just signed with the Pistons. That's what NBA banishment looks like. You're just like, no one wants you. Go play for this bad team and collect your money. Like, if Draymond's do that, sure, but I don't think he wants that. So, I think Draymond, what happened this last year, Dan, which is why Klay is in Dallas right now, is the Warriors kind of decided Draymond over Klay. And they made their bed with Draymond Green. And everything that happens over these next few years is going to be in the shadow of just like you chose Draymond basically long term and you're married to that decision and you have to lie in that bed that you made.
If Draymond Green is indeed part of this team, my only concern is that if the writing is on the wall that this is not a team that is going to contend for a championship, which is where he lives, he plays to win titles. And once that becomes very apparent to him and the rest of the team, does he buy in? Because that's really sort of where he lives, is the buy-in. Because we've seen him check out before. And if emotionally he doesn't want to play basketball, he's no good to you. So if it gets to a head where Draymond Green recognizes this is a team that's going in another direction and a future that may not include me, I don't know the buy-in for Draymond.
See, I don't know if that's going to be as big of a problem. I think as long as Steph is here, Draymond will follow in kind. Joe Lacob has Draymond's back, too. I assume so. I mean, he basically chose Draymond over Jordan Poole a couple years ago. Draymond punched Jordan Poole. And Lacob jumped behind Draymond Green in support. Now, can the Warriors depend on Draymond Green? Well, Joe Lacob was on the NBA Show podcast on The Athletic with David Aldridge. Dan, this is what he had to say about that.
I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job. I've had that conversation with him many times.
Sure.
And he understands it. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't mess up going forward. I don't think he will, but I always think he won't. I love the guy. He's a tremendous competitor. He makes our team so much better, particularly on the defensive end. He's a savant. We need to try to keep him in the games because when he's in the games, we're a better, much better team. And so I don't really have a good answer for you on that other than I've asked him and I've told him, you know, we've had very direct conversations. And I think it's hard to always control yourself in life. He has some problems. We all have some issues about controlling ourselves in certain ways. His just happened to be on a very big stage and have implications that are pretty pretty large for the organization. So I do believe he's committed. I do believe he's committed to make sure he stays on the court, stays in shape, does all the things to help extend our run and to do as good as we can and maybe compete for championships here in the next few years.
So Joe Lacob clearly is believing in Draymond Green, but like you can kind of hear it. It's like, oh yeah, he's had messes, but I always think that that's going to be it. It is just you keep enabling Draymond when you say stuff. Last year, he said it was the most important year of his career. And then he chokes out Rudy Gobert and he smacks Yusuf Nurkic on the court and misses 25 games. And you don't think that they could have used him for those 25 games? Like, no. If he's active for those 25 games, they could have been close to a 50-win team.
Well, you're not in the play-in.
No, you're out of the play-in at minimum. So, yeah, I think for the most, for better or worse, the Warriors are latched on to Draymond Green until he decides that he wants to stop playing basketball.
No, you're probably right. And I think,
unfortunately, Draymond, he killed the dynasty. When he punched Jordan Poole, he killed the dynasty.
Oh, I can't go there.
Oh, I'll go there.
You think Jordan Poole is part of the dynasty?
I mean, Jordan Poole is a big part of that title run in 2022.
He was definitely part of the
title. We forget about that.
Oh, like, that series against Denver, you don't win it without him. Like, he started in front of Steph. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jordan, like, you probably do not win that title in 2022 without the contributions of Jordan Poole.
I would agree.
He was primed to take off and be a big part of this future. And it was
We've got along so well for three and a half.
He punched Jordan Poole, and the organization was like, Draymond, we're standing behind you. And then people were blaming Jordan Poole for that. People were literally saying he brought it on himself. The discourse around Jordan Poole during that season was absolutely ridiculous. He was blamed for every single thing that went wrong. You don't think that's going to impact him as a player?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you admit or would you at least recognize that there was something amiss with his personality? Just remove the Jordan. Like when he went after an assistant coach of the Warriors, there's only one guy that I've seen in recent memory that Steve Kerr actually chewed out on the floor. And it was Jordan Poole on a couple of occasions. There's only one guy I've seen Steph Curry actually chew out, throw his mouthpiece. Not because
I
of a bad
that.
Call.
Yeah, it was.
There's just, and we're not really privy to it, but sort of when you watch Steve Kerr's reaction, when you see what Steph was doing, that there's a guy that sort of pokes you in the. It's a personality thing, right? Like we see it at work. Like there's certain guys that just rub you.
I don't know if I would subscribe to that. I think there's always more to that.
But
When we see on the surface, yes. I mean, I just think that the dude just had his confidence shot. The dude just. What he went through, mentally, to have to go through all that, like, and then to have literally everyone blaming you for what happened to you in that situation. And again, that's just, I hate to sound like a broken record, but the fact that people actually blamed him for that punch. Draymond Green was the one who decided to throw the punch. Draymond Green was the one who originally said, I like that this guy talks smack. Draymond Green was the guy who at one point was just like, you know what? I can't handle the smack talk anymore. A lot of it, I think, was just you have the young guys coming up, the old guard's there, the young guys want to take over, the old guard doesn't want to give it up yet. There's some tension there, and eventually it was Draymond was the one who couldn't handle that intense situation and let loose on Jordan Poole, but then Jordan Poole had to be the one to bear the brunt of that. You know, I remember talking to Bonte about this. He was at opening night, ring night, and the reception for Draymond Green was rather muted, you know, but for whatever reason, we're falling in behind him still.
Would you rather have Jordan Poole on this team instead of Draymond Green? Sammy.
It's tough to say that because, unfortunately, when Draymond Green is on the court, when he is balling, and that's why I think the Warriors have stuck with Draymond Green.
Not to mention Jordan Poole's dog squeeze.
But at the end of the day, when Draymond Green's on the court, he is a baller. That is why they stick with him. That is why they keep dealing with him. It's partially why Klay Thompson isn't here anymore, is because through all the nonsense off the court, the production on the court wasn't enough to where you're going to look the other way on that.
Listen, if he does go WWE on Rudy Gobert or somebody else again in the NBA, which is, at this point, I think if you're Joe Lacob of the Warriors, you just got to recognize, man, that's Draymond being Draymond. I do not want to hear, well, he's going through something, and we need to get him help. and Draymond has inner demons. And then Draymond to have this press conference of, I just need some time away. There's something. No, bro, this is who you are.
I cry because I almost retired. Come on.
I'm just saying, I love Draymond.
Oh, poor me. Let me play a song on the world's smallest violin.
But my point is, I like Draymond more than you do, but I'm just saying, like, just be who you are, brother, and that's who you are. You got anger management, whatever.
Dude,
you got some rage issues.
I light the fire, but dude, you got to be on the court. Say what you will about Clay. Dude was on the court every game. So what's the best kind of ability, Dan?
Availability.
The most important year of your career, and you missed a third of it because you had to go WWE on the court. You have Steph crying on the court because of your nonsense.
It's always fun game.
It's there you go.
We've gone drop happy here in the last 2 minutes. So just tell me. Actually, we'll go around the room here. Sammy, and then Jersey Ken. Jersey Ken's got a friend in the room. Oh, I don't know.
That's my friend.
Your friend.
I got my girlfriend in here.
Oh!
Told her to come up and watch us for a little bit, then we're going to do some museum action
What is
today.
Her name?
That's Allie back there, the lovely Allie.
Lovely Allie has joined us here at 95.7 The Game. Can we get her a headset and get her on mic here for the next...
Can we hook her up here, Ken, or put you on the spot here?
But really quick, what are we doing with the Golden State Warriors... What are they doing next year? Because I think that this is the team that's going to take the floor. Everybody thinks, yeah, the shoe's going to drop. They're going to trade for somebody because there's no way you can just start the season with this team. But this is the plan. This is the plan of getting under the cap. This is the plan of getting your arms around this team financially. And it's also leaning into the youth. This is the rebuild. This is the reset. Although they don't want to use those words, I think Joe Lacob has known all along, despite what it is he's saying.
Step back, I think.
Fine. Yeah. This is what it is they're going to that they want to do. With Buddy Hield and all these guys, they've got depth, they've got a bench. Where is this team going when we're having this conversation a year from now?
I think this is a year they're going to take a slight step. They're taking a step back on spending. I think it's a team that's still good enough to be in that 7-10 range. If things go well, I think you can maybe talk about a 6 seed.
Six is a little ambitious, but I agree with you. I think they're going to be like in that 6-11 slugging it out with like 5-6 other teams every night for positioning. But in terms of winning a title, Western Conference
probably not.
Finals,
Unless semifinals, something weird happens, but that can never be part of your plan.
There's nothing weird that's going to happen. This team is not going to the Western Conference Finals. Jersey Ken, where do you see the Warriors this year?
Yeah, real quick before we go, you know...
What, are you going to give me breaking news at 11:57?
No.
We can do another hour,
I just want to do it as quickly as possible so we can get out right now. But with Draymond Green, you know, he missed the 20 games. You guys were talking about it. But if he continues to do the antics that he's continuing to doing, this Warriors team can go real south real quick. I think they can be resilient in certain cases, with especially with Buddy Hield and and Podziemski. I think he's got a lot of upside there. Depending on what they do with Lauri Markkanen, if they make that trade, regardless, the team right now, I don't know. And that's the worst part about it. I don't know where this team can go. And again, like I said, if it does go bad, it can get really bad.
All right, that'll do it for us. We didn't hear from Sam's girlfriend, but I got to tell you, she just brightens things up.
She really does, yeah.
Because typically it's just us, three idiots that are sitting here
loves,
that
yeah.
haven't showered in
Need
2 days.
Need a little class here,
Suddenly there's something good to look at, and just it brings a level of attraction, and suddenly I'm feeling better about myself because she arrived.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll do it for us. Sam, it's been fun, my man.
This was good.
Until next time, for my man Jersey Ken, I forgot your girlfriend's name really
Allie.
Quick. Allie, Sammy, this is, God, I hate calling myself Danny, I almost went there. This is Dan Devone. Until next time, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day. So long, everybody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.